Y'all doing all right? Last week we had some guests here with us from out of town, and after service they were like, "Who's the guy over there? That who's your worship leader? Who's that guy?" I said, "His name's Troy," and they said he's phenomenal, and I totally agree with that. I definitely do. Troy or Wayne or whatever you want to call him, he's a pretty great guy. So is Wayne, by the way. Great guy. Miss Wayne. So if you're a guest with us, his name's Troy, and we are First Baptist Church, Valley Ridge Church, and we are so glad that you're here with us. We are not all Texas Tech fans, and I'll explain more about that in a little bit. We are fans of the fans, and I'm very thankful for those who are here. And so if you have your Bible, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 2. Deuteronomy chapter 2 is where we're going to be today as we begin this brand new series called Decisions, Biblical Wisdom for Life's Choices. In my very brief, illustrious career as a high school basketball player, the 2 years that I played high school basketball, true story, my coach sat me down one time and said, you're no good at this. And true story. And I'm so thankful that he did. And so I went and did other things like public speaking and acting and those kind of things. But anyways, I only remember in all of that experience one pep talk that my coach gave us at that point. We were playing Edgewood High School, and we were playing really badly. We were losing pretty bad, and we had gotten to the locker room before coach did. I don't know if somebody stopped him to talk or if he slowed himself down to cool down. But if he did that, it didn't work. So he got to the locker room and he walked in there and he picked up this chair and he threw the chair across the locker room, slammed into the lockers there. And he said, "You guys are playing pathetically poorly," is what he said. Really dramatic, although he didn't say pathetic. He said another word right there. And it was pretty loud. And I just was like captivated by this little pep talk, that he was giving us. One of the reasons I'm not really good at that, as coach said, is because I'm not competitive. And so, I just sat there thinking, you know, coach is right. And, on top of that, I don't put any of my identity in playing sports or on field or in a court or anything like that. That's ridiculous. You shouldn't do that. I put most of my identity in 18-year-olds I've never met before, playing a game I've never played before at a school I didn't go to. And so, like a normal adult. And so at that time, I just was like, you know, this is what coach says. I don't remember the results of that little pep talk. I don't remember. If I had to bet money, I think we went out there and played just as badly in the second half as we did in the first half. Turns out coach's pep talk did not, in fact, pep us up. It went the wrong way. We're going to start this series on Deuteronomy. And one of the ways that you could read Deuteronomy is as one of the longest pep talks in all of history. The people of Israel, the Israelis, they're just on the verge of going into the promised land. They're just right on the edge of walking into the promised land after 40 years of wandering. And Moses is reminding them of what they learned and what they better not forget. It's like he's saying, you've been playing poorly. You can't go into the second half this way. But why would it be helpful for us now, thousands of years later, to look back at this ancient pep talk? What could it possibly do for our church to spend time talking about it in our small groups, to think about it and apply it to our lives? Well, there's two reasons, I think, Deuteronomy is so helpful to us in our current day and time, even right now. The first one is because all of us every day stand at a crossroads. We have two decisions before us. There's small decisions and large decisions between doing what is right and doing what is wrong. Maybe it's responding to stress at work or how we're going to handle money when we have extra money or when we don't have much at all. Maybe it's even just how we're going to speak to our spouse. The choice is the same, to do what is right or to do something else. And Moses' pep talk, Deuteronomy, helps us to kind of determine which is the right way to go. Not only do we have these personal crossroads that we stand at, but also as a church, I feel like we're in a similar space to Israel at this point in their story. I don't want to over-spiritualize or take Old Testament stories and like cram them into our current day story. It's like what you when you go to churches and the pastor starts preaching on Nehemiah, you can promise they're about to build a building. And so I don't want to do that to this text. I just want to sort of point out that the people, God's people, often repeat the same storylines over and over. And I feel like as a church, that we are moving out of a season and stepping into a new season. And I believe God is going to have something great and amazing for us, but we want to do that rightly. We want to do it well. We want to do it in a way that honors God and not just repeat our past mistakes, not just exist, but we want to thrive. So I think my point is this. I want us to lean in and listen to Moses' pep talk, knowing that we are in the midst of the game and we need to think thoroughly through the first half, through the decisions that we have made in the past, make some adjustments into the second one and make the right decisions. That's what we're going to do in this series called Decisions, Decisions. Before we jump into Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7, let's pray together. God, thank you for those who are gathered here today. Longtime members, those who are maybe with us for the very first time, I pray that all of us find a place where we can connect to Christ and community and compassion. God, I pray that we can leave those burdens at the door. We can hear you rightly. God, where our lives do not measure up, whether in community or as individuals, God, you would give us the strength and the faith and the power to change. It's in Jesus' name we pray together. Amen. So this portion of the talk, this portion of the pep talk highlights the final stages of their wandering. You've heard about the children of Israel wandering through the desert. That's what they've done here. They've wandered through the wilderness. They are approaching a land called Edom. And Moses has very clearly in this chapter, in chapter 2, told them, don't try to get any of the Edomites' land. Don't try to get any of the land. Don't buy it or barter for it or anything like that. God is going to give you your own land. And so it sort of sets the backdrop of this idea that God is going to take care of them. They need only to wait. They need to trust God and know that eventually he's going to provide for what they need. He's drawing their attention back. Moses is drawing the people's attention back, and he wants to highlight three things. Before we go forward, knowing that God is going to take care of us, something our church could know as well, your family, could, you as an individual. Before we go forward, knowing that God is going to take care of us, Moses wants to highlight these three things that God has done. He has taken care of them, making sure that they make the right decision. So let's read this verse together. It's Deuteronomy 2, verse 7. It's going to be on the screens behind me. You may have a copy there in front of you in the Christian Standard Bible. Let's read this out loud together. It's just one verse. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He has watched over your journey through the immense wilderness. The Lord your God has been with you these past 40 years, and you have lacked nothing. Moses takes a moment, like I said, to remind them of the three things that God has done. He says that God has blessed their work, watched over their journey, and has been with them. We're going to look at each of them. First of all, God has blessed their work. This is a reminder that we all need regularly. Everything that we have done, everything that we have accomplished is attributed to God. It all traces back to who he is and how he has chosen to bless our lives and their lives in this story. If you think about this group of people in particular, the Jews, the Israelis that are wandering through the desert, they have just spent the last 40 years depending on God's provisions. He has taken care of them. Everything that they have done, they have been creative. They have crafted the artistic masterpiece of the tabernacle. They have organized a nation. They have established what would become traditions and culture. They have raised family. They have provided for and tended animals. And at every moment, everything that they have accomplished, they were able to do by God's blessing, by his provision. Of course, they worked. They used their hands, their strength, and their creativity, but all of that was an effort that came from God and how he blessed it. The truth is that human work only becomes fruitful when the divine favor rests on it. Moses drives us home, the same point home, a little better in chapter 8 when he says in verse 17 and 18, "You may say to yourself, my power and my own abilities have gained this wealth for me. But remember that the Lord your God gives you the power to gain wealth." See, what they and what we need to remember is that we accomplish only what God blesses. We have to be faithful and dependent. This is true as individuals, but you also have to keep in mind that Moses is speaking to the community. He's speaking to the entire nation of Israel. He's reminding them that collectively what they accomplish is also dependent. It's not just your individual accomplishments, but us as a family, us as a church, us as a community. It applies to families and businesses and churches. If this church, if your family or our community is going to flourish, it's not going to be because of one person's personality or luck. It's going to only be if we are faithful and God blesses that work. Forrest Frank is an incredibly popular Christian music artist at this point, just incredibly popular person at this point. He created a little controversy earlier this month when he posted a video that said that he would not be accepting trophies or awards for his music. His words were that he felt sort of strange for accepting these awards because his music was from Jesus and for Jesus. And whether or not you agree with his logic, what I do appreciate is that he's at least trying to live this out in a practical way, acknowledging that his success and his influence and his popularity is all attributed to Jesus. So it's a beautiful thing to live that out. How this helps us even now is it forms this bedrock of understanding that accomplishments and success come from God. We have to keep in mind that even fully accept the reality that the outcome just isn't up to us. That's something you learn, right? When you grow, when you mature a little bit. But you have to be faithful. You have to do the best you can. But the outcome, really, that's out of your hands. We can't force the results that we want. We can only be faithful in the work of our hands and then depend on God for what comes next. So when you take that test, when you're up for the job, when you are working on your relationships, it helps to know I have to be faithful in what I can do and then leave the results up to him. And when we look back on our own lives, when you look back and take an assessment of the things that you have accomplished and the things that you have done, it has to be painfully obvious and yet so confounding that for some reason God has chosen to work through our work and to do good things in spite of us, not because of us. If you step back a bit further in your own memory, you'll acknowledge that not only does God provide, but he also watches over us. That's what that next phrase says. He has watched over you in this journey. I think the emphasis here shifts from the needs that God provides for to the dangers that God protects one from. I don't have time here, nor would I do a better job than one of my favorite podcasts. It's this podcast called The Bible Project Podcast. The hosts, there's two hosts. One's name's Tim Mackey, and the other one, I can never remember his name because Tim's like a genius and the other guy just talks to him. But they're both great. Their recent series, which I would highly encourage you to listen to, the recent series that they have is Dealing with the Wilderness. And in one of the episodes, Tim explains what the wilderness is. He says, the wilderness, or the Hebrew word midbar, is about the absence of life, a dangerous and a hostile place with no water and creatures that will kill you. The place where they are wandering around was dangerous. It was an existential threat. Humans are not created to flourish and to thrive and to live in the wilderness. It's a miracle, truly, that anyone made it out of the wilderness alive, and that's exactly the point. We just aren't all that familiar with wilderness journeys. How many of you, by show of hands, how many of you, like me, If you were to go camping, camping needs to involve a hot water heater and an air conditioner. And yeah, I love the phrase of, I worked too hard all year long to pretend like I'm homeless for a week. And so, but some people like that. Some people like that. We think of wandering as not good, but we don't really fully appreciate what it is that they were going. It's not as if the Jews, it's not as if the Israelites could have just thought to themselves, you know, this isn't great, but if we hold on for a little while, we'll make it through. There is no surviving the wilderness apart from God. Not for 40 years. They were constantly in a threat. Holding on is nearly impossible. They needed God's protection the whole time, as well as his provisions. To be honest with you, some of you have been through things. Big things. Some of you, maybe not big things. Some of you have been through things and you just refuse to admit it. Either way, all the way around, this saying is true. Life is tough. Just you being here, and I mean you in the plural, just y'all being here is a big deal. We have survived a lot. There's something about surviving things that we just kind of push through it and we just get to the next thing. What if you just pause for a minute? We are, all of us collectively, we have survived constant media manipulation, COVID, political and racial unrest, natural disasters, relational challenges like divorce or abuse or betrayal. We've had job layoffs and the loss of homes and reputations. We have survived because in all of that, God has protected us. I'm talking as a church. If any one of us, if any one individual could somehow fully know what all of us collectively have survived or made it through, no one person could just bear the knowledge of it, let alone the collective weight of it. And yet we have survived by God's protection. Psalm 121 verse 7 says, the Lord will protect you from all harm. He will protect your life. And when I think about that, and just the little bit that I know from many of you and the weight that we have carried, when I think about that, I can't help but be convinced that God didn't bring you all the way through that just to leave you here. That he helped you and protected you and provided for you because he has great plans ahead of you. There's yet another reminder of what God has done for these people. Something you should keep in mind as you consider what you should do next. Moses said, he has been with you and you have lacked nothing. One of the big themes in the wilderness wandering story is that they did not walk alone. God didn't perch up on high and in his lofty position providing aerial support. The imagery is just like that of the Garden of Eden, that he was with his people, that he walked with them. Is that the way that you think about God in your life? With you, walking with you. Footprints in the sand. Emmanuel, God with us. Fourth man in the fire through the valley of the shadow of death. God is constantly telling us that you do not walk alone, that he is going to walk alongside of you through every step of the journey. And yet we are constantly thinking that we are on our own and that the results depend on us and that we can depend on, and that we can't depend on anyone except for number one. That we are all alone and no one understands and no one cares. Those are lies. Those are lies that we believe. See, listen, Moses wants to remind them that they were never alone. Cold nights and sweltering days, God was with them. When the enemy attacked, God was fighting alongside of them. When thirst and starvation were at the doorstep, God was there with manna and water from a rock. When they had to take one more step, their shoes did not wear out and their feet did not swell. God was with them, providing and protecting. In that same podcast, Tim Mackey also said, when characters go into the wilderness, they encounter death and they encounter God. It's at that knife edge of life and death that God meets and he provides. There's a playful observation that's often told as a joke that women don't typically go to the restroom by themselves. Like you're in a public area or something like that. and they'll go off by themselves. I'm not a woman, so I don't know if this is true, but I've seen it enough in movies and TV shows that at least there's some sort of observation there. Us guys, we tend to leave the bathroom stuff to a solo mission. Although I have noticed that whenever we have people over at the house, you know, and if I go to check on the grill, that the dude always goes with me. It's a one-man job, but you go together. It's not like one of us is holding up the lid and the other one's flipping the pork chops, but we go out there together. And I've also noticed that when I'm at somebody else's house and he goes to check the grill, I go with him. He doesn't even have to invite me. I just, well, we gotta go check the grill, you know, and we go stand out there and talk and stuff. Humans, we're social communal creatures. We do things together. That's the way that we are built. It's the way that we were supposed to be. That's why God says it's not good for us to be alone. It's also why we make such an emphasis here constantly about small groups. We're not supposed to be alone. But there are those times where we feel alone, where we feel like myself or my tribe or my people are isolated and pushed to the side, and that we are not heard, or that we are not appreciated, or that we are not welcomed. And when we get into those spaces, when those feelings start to be the feelings that we feel, then we can be very disoriented and feel defeated. And in those moments, we make the wrong decisions. And so that's why it's so very helpful and affirming for us to remind ourselves and to remind one another, you are not alone. There's never been a time when you were walking alone, that he has always been with you. He has provided, he has protected, and he has been present. Now there's a danger looking back. There's a danger when we look back too long. Some people here remember and they think return. They assume that the best thing that we can do is to try to get back to how it used to be, back to an old church style, back to old traditions, back to when the world felt simpler and safer and more familiar. You see it everywhere. You see it in church life and in politics and even in families. People start talking like the goal is to rewind history, to reclaim some golden era that's gone. But that's not what God calls his people to do. Moses wasn't telling Israel to go back. He was preparing them to walk forward. The faithful of God, or the faithfulness of God, then isn't an invitation to recreate the past. It's a reason to trust him in the future. Remembering is not about returning. It's about readying. It's not about trying to relive what was. It's about recognizing who was and you with you and believing that he still is. If all we ever do is look back, we'll miss what God is doing right now and where he's leading us next. So yes, look back, but let your memories move you. Let them become momentum. The same God who provided, protected, and walked with you before is doing it still. He doesn't bring you through the wilderness to take you backward. He brought you through to lead you forward. You know, when we think about the story of Israel, when we think about this God who provided and protected and was present with his people, the truth is that the wilderness story is the same as the gospel story. God provides what we could never earn. You and I can't work our way into forgiveness or to prove our worth to him, but God loved us enough to provide it himself. He sent Jesus, who lived a perfect life, so that he could die, and in that death, provide us life, and that's the provisions. God also protects. In the wilderness, he shielded them from the dangers that they could not see, and at the cross, Jesus shielded us from the judgment that we did deserve. When he took our place, he absorbed all of it, sin and shame and death, so that we could stand free and forgiven, and he still walks with his people. The same God who led his people by a cloud and by fire, sends his Holy Spirit to dwell within us and to guide us. You don't have to wander alone. You don't have to carry the weight of this life alone. So you're invited to stop trying to provide what only God can give. Let him protect you from what you can't survive on your own, and let him walk with you from this day forward. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, I would encourage you to do that now, to just tell him, Jesus, I believe you. I trust you. and I give you my life. He has already provided the way. He has already done the work, and all that's left is for you to receive it. Before I came here to be the pastor of this church, I took a month to pause and to think. A whole month. I was coming out of a tough spot, a bad situation. And I didn't want to waste the moment. I wanted to learn the lessons and not repeat the same things over. So in that month, I would take entire days. I'd go to coffee shops and other places that are quiet, and I would sit down with a piece of paper and a pen, and I would think through what it was that God had done and what it was that he was teaching me. And out of that came this new way for me to lead. Out of that came this new way for me to do things, to do the same task that I had done before, but just to do it differently. Things like whiteboard sessions and interviewing members and these sort of things were all birthed in a coffee shop in that month of pausing and thinking about what God had done and what it was that he was teaching me. That's really what Moses is doing in this passage. He's helping the people to pause and to look back before they move forward. Not to get stuck in regret or nostalgia, but to remember how faithful God has been, to see his hand in their story so far. When you look back through that lens, you start to realize that all the way, all along the way, God has been providing and protecting and present with you. And when you see that, it changes the way that you proceed. So let me encourage you to make a space, to make some time for that kind of reflection in your life. Before the next big decision, before you step into the new season, to take a little look back. Pull out a journal or go for a drive. Sit in silence for a while, whatever that looks like for you. Because when you take the time to trace God's fingerprints through your past, you'll find gratitude for where he has led you and the confidence for where he is leading you. God didn't protect you and provide for you just to get you this far. He did it to prepare you for what's next. The wilderness is never wasted. It was training ground for trust. So before you rush into the next half, pause and remember, and then step forward in faith, knowing that the same God who got you here will get you there. Let's pray together. God, thank you for this morning and your care and love for us. God, I pray in these next few moments that we would pause and we would think back. We have survived some things. As a people and as a community, we have gone through very difficult things. But even in the midst of that, God, we refuse to sit there with our eyes down at the problems. Instead, we look back and look up at the God who provided and protected and continues to be present with us. God, I pray for those who have not yet trusted you as their Savior. I pray now would be the time that they do that. In these next few moments, move within our hearts, move within our minds, and draw us closer to the cross. It's in Jesus' name we pray together. Amen. Y'all stand with us. I'll give you a moment to respond, whatever Holy Spirit has guided you and led you to do. In these next few moments, you move. There'll be ministers down here to pray with you if that's something that you'd like.